Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much. Hanging around with me today. My pleasure to be part of your day, and actually it's an honor for me to be able to be here and spend some time with you. Thank you very much for allowing me to do that, and for also thank you for allowing me to represent you here at the Association of Small Business Development Centers, the ASBDC. That's the national organization, the big group, and the trade group, so to speak, their national group, and but they break out into hundreds and hundreds of small business development centers all across the country. And we'll be talking more about them a little bit later in the show. But that's where I am. I'm in Denver, Colorado, broadcasting live from the downtown Hyatt. And it's a great building, great facility here. Denver's a great city. I got a lot of folks in the Colorado area listening on a number of radio stations across the state, across the Front Plains, and even up in the mountains, like up in Vail. So hello to all my friends in Colorado. Bill Hubbard, folks, is our guest. William S. Hubbard is our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Couldn't do without him. He's the guy who helps us do a better job with the human beings we work with, and he's, as I say, he's supported us for a long time. He's the author of a number of books, including a brand new one I'm going to get him to tell us about. Again, I mean a brand spanking new one, and so let's get him in here. Bill Hubbard, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks, Jim. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, as always, my friend. We're going to talk, folks, in a minute, we're going to talk about variable pay, the concept of variable pay rather than just, you know, a fixed salary and then a bonus at the end of the year. We're going to talk about that in a second. But, Bill, I want you to tell us a little bit about this brand-new book you got out, because I'm pretty excited about it being available for my audience.
Well, it's called Improving Performance Results, A Supervisor's Guide to Pay for Performance. And basically what I've done here is I've boiled down into 80 pages or so. It's a softbound booklet of 80 pages designed for every one of your supervisors and managers, and basically tells them how to deal with employees, communicate performance expectations, deal with performance issues, reward performance results. So it really keys into a lot of the topics, of course, that we're going to talk about today. But it really helps you deal with your supervisors and helps your supervisors deal with their employees to get the results that you're looking for, and then, of course, to reward them accordingly.
You know, Bill, and by the way, folks, I got an advanced peek of the book. I was able to spend some time with it, looking at it, and I, as you know, anything Bill does is top shelf. So I certainly recommend you check it out. And that's at Hubbard.com, right, Bill?
Yes, it is. H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T, Hubbard.com, and you can order online.
You know, Bill, this traditional pay system, pay regimen, pay logic, whatever, excuse me, whatever you want to call it, that we've had for centuries, it actually becomes a real problem eventually. People mm-hmm. get a raise, they get a bonus, or they don't get a bonus, but eventually people get raises, and after, say, 15 or 20 years or so, you know, raise after raise after raise after raise, you know, people actually start getting paid more than maybe they're, you know, maybe that than the job is worth.
That's true. There's
and this is a vicious cycle for a lot of companies, isn't it?
It is a real cycle, and it's a real, oftentimes a negative cycle, because employees have this mindset that, well, it's another year, it's time for my raise. It's another year, it's time for my raise, without any real perception or a real sense of what have I done to deserve this raise, or what have I done to contribute to the organization. One employer was complaining to me one time. He says, I'm not able to charge a higher cost to my customers just because another anniversary has passed. He says,
right.
The prices and competition, I need to control costs and I need to try to pay my people each year in a way that's competitive, but I just can't somehow always just raise prices every year just to try to accommodate my employees are looking for a little bit more money all the time.
So, you know, Bill, we saw this in the, say, the late 70s and 80s in a very dramatic way. And, folks, I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying this is what happened, and it was a manifestation of what we're talking about right now. A lot of companies really let their brain trust go, because the people who knew where all the bodies were buried, so to speak, were being paid so much. The company, those especially the big companies, they felt that they couldn't afford that those people anymore. So they literally let them go, and there were many horror stories out there, as you know, Bill. And they let those people go, and they dropped back to younger, lower-paid people to run the companies. Now, I'm not saying, and many of those companies, Bill, as you know, didn't even fare all that well after that. I mean, I think many companies probably didn't, you know, went out of business. Big companies went broke because they couldn't afford to pay for the brain trust that they had, and it was because they had a bad pay structure, wasn't it, Bill?
It is, and even now we see that. Certainly, I recall that period of the late 70s and early 80s where we were looking at 7%, 8%, 9%, 10% pay adjustments, and now we've settled into a more 3%, 4%, 5% pay adjustment issue. But even that has an accumulating effect, and as companies take a good hard look at their profits and they're pressed from all different directions, periodically late in the year, this is kind of the timeline where organizations take a look at how are we doing this year, and if we're not meeting our goals, then they start to look for ways to control those costs, and even to this day, we're still seeing sometimes larger groups of layoffs where it's a cost-cutting measure. And certainly, the message to the employee is: make sure that you're carrying your weight, and you're doing your part, and you're making yourself one of the more rewardable employees that the employer wants to keep. Because those individuals that are coasting along are most likely the ones that are going to be let go.
Well, and so what we want to do today is we want to help people get their own pay structure, and it won't. It's probably not a good idea just to change all at once, but just to start evolving your pay structure into a system, into a structure that will actually last you for a while, and will put you on the right course, so that people are paid for what the company receives.
My recommendation is to try to build into your pay plan a variable pay component that rewards based upon results. And this is the kind of thing where you can add this on gradually to a base pay plan, so that rather than giving everybody straight raises across the board, introduce a new variable pay plan that keys to results, and then you can start building the proportionate size of that part of the compensation plan.
And folks, there are programs all the way from you know, heavy salary and lesser in terms of variable compensation, all the way up to the full commission schedules. And when we come back, Bill's going to talk to us about some of those variables, and we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our good friend Bill Hubbard. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm broadcasting live from downtown Denver, Colorado, one of my favorite states here in downtown, right on the Front Range, and got the plains to one side and got the mountains to the other side. It's a beautiful part of the world. I'm out here with broadcasting live from the Association of Small Business Development Centers Conference. As an organization that I like to support, and I'll be telling you more about those guys as we go through the show. Right now, we're talking to our good friend Bill Hubbard. William S. Hubbard is one of our best friends around here, and an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. One of the most dedicated guys we have in the Brain Trust. One of the smartest guys too, and he's our human resources expert. And we've been talking about variable pay for the work that our employees do, establishing a pay plan. And Bill, I think one of the reasons why more people don't do it is because they just don't even know. Some people don't even know that this is an option. Because, you know, if they've never worked for a major corporation, you know, that's one thing. I got a lot of experience when I worked for major corporations, Bill. I learned a lot about a lot of different kinds of variable pay plans. I was on them myself, and a lot of people just don't know about them. They don't know how to get them started. But I believe, Bill, if more people understood how they worked, I believe that more people would do it, and I think it would help small business owners to be more successful.
I really encourage it, and certainly we don't need to just pay this annual salary, but rather take a look at some sort of a variable component, and then we'll talk about some of those examples today. Obviously, the most typical one we see, we might call it kind of the discretionary bonus, and that's where if we got money left over at the end of the year, then we provide a little bit of a bonus to our employees, and that's probably the easiest way to kind of get into this is at least start that process going, but make sure that employees have an understanding that this is a variable element. If we do very good, it's better. If we don't do so good, it's not going to be so good.
But it's also at the whim of the boss.
It is at the whim of the boss.
And if you got a generous boss or if you don't have a generous boss, you're going to be paid accordingly. And unfortunately, Bill, and this is what's happened over the years, the year-end bonus winds up being, you know, some years it's a motivator and some years it's a demotivator.
Yes, it is. And even I found when I was receiving one, if the 1 year wasn't as good as the prior year, then it's kind of disappointing. But part of that is communication in terms of what is given and the reason why. But there's various other plans to consider as well. One of the things that we've done for firms, we've called it a pay-for-knowledge or pay-for-skill type of a plan. And this is where you define pay increases based upon whether the employee learns particular aspects of the job or is able to demonstrate particular skills needed for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So one example would be like if you've got a production operation and employee running machines and you want to give them more money, have them learn setup of the machine, then that, certainly that warrants additional money, so you're paying for additional funds as they learn and perform more aspects of their regular daily job. So this
right.
one can be built into the regular pay plan. Another common example often that we see, again, in production environment, we might call it kind of a piece rate, where employees are paid per piece or per part or whatever, however we might break out that activity. Organizations that were involved with assembly or light manufacturing or that type of thing often found that a piece rate type of a pay plan was an incentive way to help motivate those kinds of employees. A third example oftentimes that we see, particularly we use this with our salespeople, is different kinds of commission plans. And one of the key issues here is whenever there's a sale, then there's a commission that's paid. And, of course, you define your commission based upon how you evaluate your product and the individual's role in the process and how much they can influence the sale. And some folks are on 100% commission and some are on salary plus commission, or some receive maybe a salary plus a draw, and then based upon the draw, a commission. And so there's various different ways that that can be implemented, and of course we typically see those type of plans with people that are involved with sales of products or sales of services.
But you know, Bill, this doesn't have to just be for salespeople. You could have, believe it or not, you could structure something like this for your accounts receivable person.
Yes.
And set goals, set markers for, you know, okay, if you every month that you keep our accounts receivable inside of 45 days, you know, that you're gonna get a number, a two, or a three, or whatever it might be, and then every month that rolls up, and maybe at the end of the year, or maybe at the end of the quarter, or maybe you even pay them a little extra every month. But when they meet certain performance guidelines in accounts receivable or whatever their job is, and those are the numbers that you want them to make, or numbers that the company needs to be successful, when they hit those goals, you give them a little bit of some compensation.
That's the key, and I strongly recommend that. And the key is for every one of those jobs, try to find an element that quantifies that their success in that job, that's a good measure of that job, that affects the company's bottom line profitability. Look at the numbers over the past, say, year or so, and then use that as the basis to say, okay, we want you to improve this by 5%,
right.
10%, 15%.
And show them how their work aggregates with everyone else's work, and then it drops to the bottom line to help, you know, for the health of the company.
And that's the key. And the final element of that is, of course, a group performance bonus. When we all do well, we all get paid.
Absolutely. And profit sharing, too, by the way. That's another good one. Bill, give us that website one more time, please.
Hubbert.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
The title of the new book, quickly.
Improving Performance Results, The Supervisor's Guide to Pay for Performance.
Thank you, Bill, for being here. By the way, all the stuff we've been talking about is in that book. See you next time, Bill. 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.